Good morning, everyone. So I'm very excited and very honored to be moderating this this very very cool panel. It was an idea Nicolas and Olga and I were discussing a few months ago what to do, how can Endeavor be involved with the programming of this this conference. And then I think that the best, and I'm Panagiotis Karapinis, I'm the managing director of Endeavor Greece. We are a global organization with 12-year presence in Greece, working and trying to make sure that the Greek entrepreneurs, the high-impact entrepreneurs of the country, find global opportunities, and then Greece becomes a fruitful environment for global high-impact entrepreneurs as well, right? So out of our work, we've seen over the last few years that there's a lot of world-class projects happening in Greece. Some of them we might know, some of them we don't know. But the thing that we're seeing right now as the most of the most importance for the Greek innovation ecosystem and the Greek economy looking ahead is not just to tell the stories. It's not just to understand that nowadays Greece is the home of world-class projects, and we have some in the panel with us. But it's imperative that we start communicating that globally, and that we become a global destination for talent. Right? We're not just we're not anymore the cute story of a cute turnaround or of a country that perseveres, but we are a powerful competitive story, a powerful competitive proposition, right, for the world to look up to when they're looking for the next global opportunity, investment opportunity. And this, and there are a few people that that put us on the map, and we have some of them on our panel with us. So just like to give you a sense, if we wanted to have them all, we would probably need this room to have as speakers, right? Not a lot of people know that Tesla's powertrain R&D center is based in Greece, and that this the work that they're doing in the robots and the new battery technology is centered in Greece. Not a lot of people know that the next fintech research center of JP Morgan is in Greece, is in Athens. That the other one that they have out of the two is in Tel Aviv. And not a lot of people know that Amazon and Pfizer, of course, we have a lot of Cisco, and a lot of international giants are present in Greece, and they're doing a lot of investments, and they're creating world-class stories. The Greek tech ecosystem is also world-class. We had an acquisition of Betakae this year by Cadence at a $1.2 billion valuation. Just to give you a sense, in 2023, the foreign direct investments were $4.8 billion, right? And this year, 2024, only one company was acquired by $1.2 billion. That gives you a sense what can happen in Greece over the few next years. So I presented the context, world-class opportunities. Greece is a powerful proposition and not a cute story. And I think I would love to deep dive on the each individual and the stories that they're building. And I'm going to start with you, Mr. Maglaras, because I think, you know, we all talk about companies doing investments, but this is not just the only area that we should be raising Greece's profile, and definitely education is one. And you chose, you have 10 global centers in 10 metropolitan areas, right, around the world, and you chose Athens to be the next one, which I think is one of the most fascinating stories ever, with in the latest the last 5 years. So please give us a sense why you chose Athens and what's happening there.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Panagiotis. My name is Kostis Maglaras. I'm the Dean of the Business School at Columbia University. And Panagiotis was referring to an effort that the university has started over the last 4 or 5 years. And it was launched basically in this past year, which is the establishment of a global center in Athens. You can think of it as an outpost of the university where we're going to do education, we're going to do research, we're going to try to engage with intellectual life along the spectrum of the country. And I'm going to make three quick comments and then I'm going to stop, and so that we can have a more dynamic discussion. But, you know, the legacy of a lot of the things that Athens and Greece has done over the past 2,500 years, is sort of very centrally threaded through the education that we offer at the University of Columbia. So this is, there is a natural link between what we teach to our undergraduate students and what was originally basically written or discovered or articulated in classical Greece. So there is a natural reason for that to be happening. But then there are many, many contemporary reasons. Greece is doing enormously well. The economy is thriving. And, you know, we hope to engage in areas that range from technology to climate, where it's an area that I think Greece could have a competitive advantage. We're trying to do things in entrepreneurship and innovation, which is something that Panagiotis and I have been talking about for this past year. And we can, especially as it pertains to entrepreneurship that emanates from universities, which is something that we know how to do really well here in the United States. And then maybe we can port that model back home. So there are sort of real synergies that we hope to explore. And I'm personally not just happy to be cheerleading that effort for the university, but also, you know, I would say proud that we actually are doing it. So, you know, we'll have time to talk more about it after the other speakers elaborate.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Evan, Google has committed to invest $2.2 billion in Greece in the development of a cloud region by 2030. And that is estimated to create 20,000 jobs, right? Let alone you've added all the Greek monuments in the Google Maps immersive view. And now you can do tours, digital tours of the best monuments, the top monuments, which obviously affects tourism. And then you've also upskilled almost 300,000 people through Google Grow. So I'm wondering, and I know that you're also the defense and the security team, leading that security team of Google. So probably we should also touch upon that. But how do you reflect on Google's presence and impact on Greece so far?
Yeah, thank you, Panagiotis. First of all, you covered half my talking points there, so I appreciate the favor. But you're exactly right. We're very bullish, very big believers in Greece. I'll add a couple of points. One is, even in the digital world where everything is electronic, location really matters. And Greece has a very unique, strategic, important location and a very big role to play because of that. And so the cloud comment that you made, as Panagiotis said, we're building a new cloud region in Greece, and location is obviously a big part behind that. We're also building a new subsea cable that's going to connect France, Italy, Greece, and the Middle East. Again, similar reasons. Greece is just in a unique strategic position that's favorable for these kinds of investments. On the partnership side, as Panagiotis mentioned, we've invested a lot in training individuals through the Grow Greek Tourism program. We also have cybersecurity training at universities in Greece. We recently announced a donation of $1 million to the Aristotle University of Thessaloniki under that program. We have programs to promote child online safety, several different initiatives all geared towards upskilling and developing the workforce and the talent in Greece. And of course, last but not least by any stretch, actually one more thing, we have the Flood Hub tool, which helps predict, using AI, predict floods in Greece. And we now have wildfire alerts in Google Maps, kind of in real time in Greece. We rolled that out in May.
And also earthquake alerts.
And earthquake alerts, that's right. So lots of investment in these sort of partnerships that play to Greece's unique strengths and threats in some ways. And of course, last but not least, the products, right? The, you know, Search, YouTube, Gmail, Chrome, products that are nearly ubiquitous in Greece and help drive productivity and growth every single day.
Wonderful. I know that you also joined the board of Eurobank. And then as we pivot our conversation on what are your takeaways so far from the Greek economy, the Greek reality, and what can we do better? I would love to also hear from you. What's your experience so far joining a board of a Greek bank, which I think is something that we should be doing more, adding more internationals, more Greek diaspora into the boards of our top companies. If I'm going to learning from the Evan. I won't say any points. I have points about your investments, but please go ahead. Tell us more about Microsoft 32-year-old presence in Greece.
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much. And thanks so much for the invitation to this great event. It's my first time here. It's very impressive. So I'm really delighted to be part of it. So from a Microsoft standpoint, we really truly believe that technology is like a key enabler to a country's growth. And we have been in region in Greece for the past 30 years, really investing not only in skilling and education, but also with data centers, infrastructure development. And also we believe in collaborating with the government and making sure that we modernize and optimize a lot of the government operations. A couple of examples that we're really proud of: the first ever online public sector assistant, MyGov, that is used daily by 5,000 individuals every day. And we took this best practice, really leveraging a lot of the new tech that we have through artificial intelligence, generative AI, and we took the best practice from MyGov, and in collaboration with the Ministry of Tourism, we now have the My Greece as well. So tourists that come and visit can learn about his history, about resources, where to stay, what to do. So these are some of the really exciting examples where you can see how a technology provider can really create the right conditions for greater economic growth. And there are many others, but I'll hold them for later.
Yeah, I remember back in 2008, when Microsoft launched its innovation center in Greece, in Athens, Bill Gates inaugurated it. We really went a full circle there, right? I mean, I hope that we'll start seeing similar aspirations and ambitions after 20 years almost, like 18 years. But it was quite impressive. Of course, no one knew what was coming. Nico, we all know about Pfizer's investments in Greece. I think that they have a lot of status, a lot of attraction also. I know that it's growing, which is very well. I know that it's in Thessaloniki, which is another good new, good piece. Please let us know your thoughts.
For me, does it work? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I think for me it was a really great story in some way, because as you know well, we started the operation in 2020. So Pfizer decided to invest in Thessaloniki and opening this Center for Digital Innovation in Thessaloniki. And I would say the beginning of the story was hiring more or less 200, 250 people. So this was the plan for Pfizer board of directors. But then I would say the conditions, the results, the outcome, and the talents also that we had were so good that now we are aiming to have 1,500 people by the next year. So, but in some way, for me also was impressive. But because in some ways you can notice I'm not a Greek person, I'm an Italian. So also for me was going to Greece and creating this from the scratch was really an amazing experience. And in some way we decided to go there for the reasons that we are commenting here. So first of all, talents. This was the big piece of the business case. In some way, we were sure to find the right talents, and this proved to be real, especially in the technology area. And what was also impressive about this was also that now this has become a multi-capability center. It's not only the digital organization, but we're having also business services and also clinical trials operation. So this was one of the reasons. Then, in some way, it was also the support that we had from the institutions for supporting the digital strategy, for supporting this investment in Thessaloniki. Since the beginning, we had very, very strong support from the institution. And then one of the things also that we are really proud of this organization is that it's a global center. So we are based in Thessaloniki, as Panagioti mentioned, but in some way people are working across all the geographies in the world. So currently for the digital center, we are part of 250 global projects. Business service is providing support to 70 countries across the world. Clinical trials are managing more than 100 clinical trials projects. So it's really a global scope. And this is also one of the reasons why we selected Greece, in particular Thessaloniki, because in some ways the middle of East and West, and people can work, I would say, in the morning with Asia and the afternoon with the US and the other part of the country. So as I said, this is in short the story, but after 4 years, also for sharing a little bit the results, recently we made an evaluation with the Iove institution. I think that you are aware, especially Greek people, they know that this is a very important institution in economic analysis. And we made an impact evaluation of the Pfizer investment in Greece, and from 2020 to 2030, we are going to develop 0.7% of the GDP of Thessaloniki. So this means almost 1% of the GDP of Thessaloniki will be supported by Pfizer. So as I said, it was a great story, and I think also these outcomes are confirming the goodness of the business case of Pfizer investing in Thessaloniki.
Yeah, wonderful. And I'll just to add to that, they estimate that the total contribution to the GDP will be 2.5 billion, right? And you will overall, by 2030, will have created 5,000 jobs,
correct?
Which is exceptional, especially if you consider that it's in the it's outside of Athens, right? We need more innovation outside of Athens. Vasily, thank you for joining. I know that you've been meeting biotech CEOs, and your access and your connection with them, that the way that they're involved with the Greek government, the discussions that have been happening over the last few years are extraordinary. They're world class, right? No, I don't think that we realize that the CEOs of the top pharmaceutical companies are either Greek or feel illness, right? Or they're very involved with the Greek government. And the Prime Minister himself meets them occasionally. Stelios Papadopoulos and Mr. Artabanis from Harvard, with you and some other people, wrote a report on the roadmap for the evolution of biotech growth and investments in Greece. How is biotech contributing so far to the country's transformation? Apart from Pfizer, what other developments are we seeing?
Thank you, Panagiotis, for the invitation. Indeed, many people came together during the pandemic. One of them is Kostis Maglaras and Simos Simeonidis and Alex Tsoukas. I see them in the room, from COS Biopharma Partners, together with executives from the pharmaceutical industry. And with the lead of Stelios Papadopoulos, we prepared a report to the Prime Minister on how Greece could become a hub for biopharma. And at the beginning, this was probably, someone could say that this was a science fiction question, because we have to compete Boston, California, and other hubs for biotech across the globe. But we concluded the report by answering to this question with a big yes. Indeed, Greece can become a hub for biopharma services. We have laid down a plan on the specific structural measures we need to take, and all the legislative initiatives we need to take in order to create a properly regulated business environment. And we have a lot of work to do. We are doing well so far. We have 4 pillars focusing on. The first one is, the report says that we need to invest in basic research in the country. And also we need to we need to concentrate on initiatives that can contribute in economic activity in the country, and we strongly believe that Greece has the capacity to become a destination of choice by offering quality execution at a lower cost, especially in the field of biologics manufacturing, clinical trials, biopharmaceutical services, and digital transformation.
Yeah. I know we're lucky as a nation to have some of the top CEOs having a Greek origin in this space, but I have to say, if we had the same ambition in other industries, to actively open a discussion, right, to have an open discussion with such forces in the as we do in the biotech and the health tech, I think that we would have seen a multiple of new investments coming in. And the fact that the Prime Minister meets with the top CEO so oftenly, and he's in such an active conversation within this industry, I think it's exceptional. And thank you.
We met last April with the 25 CEOs of the biggest pharmaceutical companies, and we met with the Prime Minister, and this is a signal, a message that Greece is a destination for investments, and we hope that we will make it.
Absolutely, and we need to take this ambition to other industries as well.
Yori, can I jump in?
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, one thread has been human capital, and Greece has very strong human capital, and we need to actually build on that and then sort of create areas of extreme global competitiveness for the country. Bio and life sciences is what Vasilis was talking about. I think is an important thread. There are others. You know, climate adaptation could be an area where Greece could be on the forefront. Energy transition is something that we're working, and it could be on the forefront. I would say shipping is obviously part of what we do, and is in, and it will continue to play a crucial role in global commerce, and somehow is something that we can lead in the future. And technology is an area that we could lead. And there was a, you talked about the government, there was a recent report about AI that was put out for the government. And, you know, one could easily see how Greece could be, could use AI to create sort of a much more digitally connected city, digital sort of infrastructure for the point of view of how we as consumers or as politicians interface with the government is a competitive advantage for Greece. And do I dare so? It's ahead of where we are here in New York City, which is my home. So that's another area where Greece could potentially lead relative to other parts of the world. So in some sense, we need to be investing in human capital. We need to pick some spots, and we need to build competitiveness that is globally sort of exporting competitiveness, so to speak.
Well, human capital definitely is a big competitive advantage. I would love to, I mean, we have 20 minutes in our time, three thematic thematics. The one is, from your experience in Greece, what can Greece do on a world-class level? What are the competitive advantages of Greece, and what works against us? So, with your experience so far, the second one will be about the future, how your projects and your work is growing, and what are the bets looking ahead. And then the third one will be more of touching a little bit of the Greek culture. How can it change to support higher growth rates and bigger scale? So, it can be an open discussion. You can fight. You can interrupt each other. You can disagree. We'd prefer that. So please, Evan, do you?
Yeah, maybe I'll jump in since Kostis was talking about AI just now. I agree. I think AI is definitely an area of opportunity, and I would say both in terms of developing AI and in terms of adopting AI. Right, those are distinct areas of potential competitive strength, and they're both interesting. We recently ran a study in Greece looking at the potential for AI to boost Greece's economy, and it's pretty promising. The study came back with a 10 to 12 billion euro potential GDP uptick over a period of 10 years. I actually think that's pessimistic, personally. But anyhow, there's a substantial sort of, at an economy level, potential for AI to make an impact. And I think in terms of the challenges for AI specifically, I would say there are probably two or three. One, we are lagging comparative countries in AI investment, and so that obviously needs to be addressed. Two, the workforce and the talent pool, while strong in general, is not quite there in terms of AI skills at a broad level. There are some really amazing experts, but at the broad level, the skill set needs to be developed. And then thirdly, I would say AI infrastructure is an area where we have to invest, both in terms of supercomputers and just kind of broader underlying infrastructure that will enable AI to flourish.
Yes.
May I add something? It's very important to mention that there is a European initiative now going on about the creation of AI factories, and Greece has submitted a solid, comprehensive dossier to get one of these factors here. So this is very important for the country.
Absolutely. And you can find both reports, by the way, on the biotech sector and also the AI report that came out from the committee Kostis Daskalakis is leading online and also on our website and on our social media.
One of the initiatives that I want to also highlight as we talk about growth is the emphasis on skilling, because that's investing in the present and also in the future. So we have been working on the Microsoft side to establish a series of educational kind of like, you know, programs to skill, upskill and reskill people, like, you know, either, you know, in the K through 12 or kind of like higher ed institutions, also individuals that are currently in organizations that need to learn new skills like AI, more kind of like tech skills. And we have committed to 100,000 trainings. So far, we have completed 65,000, and we are taking this to 10,000 students, 10,000 civil servants, which I believe this is an area that we need to really leverage technology to further modernize and optimize. And I think the Greek sub, was the first to introduce the Microsoft Civil Servants Academy that provides these digital skills for civil servants. And also a topic that is very dear to my heart is education, the K-12 and higher ed area, where we're working with 400 kind of like expert educators and several schools to really make sure that we infuse technology and AI tools in the most thoughtful way, so that we can change the way that we teach and our students learn. That's an investment for how we can really create that human kind of like technical capital that can really help Greece continue to grow.
Nico, how does the proposition, the value proposition for Greece changes when we move outside Athens? Is it, you know, lower cost to talent quality? Is it more than that?
I think it's more or less aligned. So I would say this is my perception. For sure, I would say the number of people are less, because we're talking about a city of 1 million against 5 million. But in some way, and you know well, that especially for digital, there is a strong ecosystem in Thessaloniki that is supporting all of our investment. But regarding, if I can answer also to the question about what the Greek, I would say, government can do, or also what they did well and what we could improve even more. If I can answer to this question, I would say, for now, they did very well. So if I talk about the case of Pfizer Thessaloniki, it was a big success. So we had a support from an investment perspective, we had the support from human capital perspective, and also for sure the support that we are having for all the connection that we are making. But for me now, after 4 years, after 5 years that now we are entering in the fifth year of operation, we have to sustain this model. So this is what we want to request to them. So because in some way the companies wants long-term support. So this is clear. This is really important. We would need to confirm the support that we are having. And also, as also was mentioned here by my colleagues, so the human capital is really strong. I think this is true. This is true, especially for the basic educations. It's really good. People have one or two postgraduate certifications. So this is really good. But what we should improve a little bit more is the connection with the industries. I think this is important because in some way we are going faster, for sure, of the universities in terms of capabilities. I want this connection with them for keeping the pace. At the beginning, it was not easy. I can assure you that we made this connection. And in some way, we talked a different language for some type of activities. But now we are improving and we need to improve even more because this will sustain the model.
Let's deep dive on the education, since we have also Mr. Maglaras here with us. But before that, I'm wondering, we have 66 years, the same government, one of the few countries with political stability right now, and having completely getting rid of the populist movements, right? I mean, it seems like we have a solid government.
Correct.
But yet, long-term support, right? More strategic, more deeper thinking on how can we support foreign direct investment seems to be a problem here. What do you think is preventing a solid government, a pro-business government, a kick-ass prime minister, right, from giving his government the incentives to give longer-term support?
I think they should be stimulated by these results, because it's a way, I would say, these companies that are here are proving that can work, but the stimulus is making this long-term, as I said. And I think, as I said, the area are the ones that we mentioned. So the support for the investment, the human capital developer, and also another thing that is important is the connection with the ecosystem. I think this is equally important. For example, the connection with the startup ecosystem, digital. I think these are, I would say, we don't have to make us reinvent the wheel in some way, because the direction is good, but we still have to believe on this and investing on this.
Evan, you have to something.
Yeah, just a couple of quick comments. I couldn't agree more with your point, Nico, about the need for greater connections with the industry. I did my first degree in Greece. I started in Greece. I've been through the Greek university experience. I mean, I don't know if it's changed. I hope it has. But back then, connections with the industry were considered like evil, like a bad thing. Like they were stigmatized, let alone pursued. And so I hope that has changed, but it sounds like there's still more to do there. Then to your point, Panagiotis, about why, like, what's not working about incentives and so on. I think the main thing is it's a competitive field. We're not the only ones with these ideas in Greece. Every country around the world that wants to attract investment has the same ideas.
Yeah.
So it's not about whether the investments are there, the incentives are there. It's about whether they are better than others around
us.
We're competing with others, right? That's the issue.
I also want to double down on the comment around the startup ecosystem.
Yeah,
if I may, I will very short. I swear. Yes. No. Because I think we can't really underestimate the importance of delivering and supporting a vibrant startup ecosystem. And Greece has this natural kind of like culture of entrepreneurship. So we have to like really build the right conditions to support these new ideas, especially, you know, around AI, around tech. And from a Microsoft standpoint, we're doing this through the Founders Hub to support first-time startups and also the AI Accelerator, which is a new program for Greece as well.
Microsoft has long been very active in supporting startups in Greece, truly. But also, let's move to your favorite topic, education. And Kosti, is anything changing now that the government has decided to allow foreign universities, private universities, to do partnerships with? Is this a solution?
Okay, let me. I'll answer the question. Let me just say something that will be useful to change, that connects a little bit to threads. We need to increase our appetite for risk taking in Greece. And we need to increase our willingness to accept failure in Greece in order to promote the entrepreneurial ecosystem. This is something that is sort of so pervasive here in the United States, and it happens not to be pervasive in Europe. Greece is part of Europe, and we suffer from the same issue. And that's something that we all collectively need to actually try to change. Education, and I'll return to the sort of the private public partnership idea. We mentioned education and AI earlier, which I guess these are both near and dear to me, because I've been in education for about 35 years and I've been working on AI for about 35 years. So in some sense, this is an area, by the way, that companies and educational systems need to be collaborating. Education is an industry that is going to be disrupted over the next 10, 20, 30 years. Each of us in this room has learned and studied in exactly the same way that people were learning 300 years ago. We read books, we did problem sets, we then wrote essays, and that's how we refine our understanding of concepts. And that may be so different in just like a decade or two. So we need to be thinking collectively and creatively about it. Now, in terms of the new sort of legal framework in Greece for private institutions, I think it's good. What we have seen in other countries, this one in particular that we're in right now, is that, first of all, private and public universities can coexist. Second, private universities can deliver excellent, excellent education and excel in research. Okay? we need to not forget that when we say public and private institutions, they're all having an extremely deep relationship to the government, right? They're not, you know, private institutions in this country are not islands that operate sort of separate from government ties. If nothing else, the research infrastructure of this country has been built on some select universities. Ours was one of them, based on government funding. So in some sense, these two models can coexist. We hope that through this sort of new legal framework, we will be able to see, A, partnerships between institutions, institutions in other countries, and institutions in Greece. B, we may be able to see exchange of ideas, exchange of faculty, exchange of students, so that we can cross-pollinate a little bit of what we heard that, you know, entrepreneurship and business in undergraduate education was considered to be evil in the Greek university system. So, you know, we should be able to sort of change that. And fundamentally, we may be able to actually create a slightly different model of education, university education in Greece, which, by the way, doesn't, that is more market reactive, right? So that, you know, maybe you open and you serve sort of the needs of the country in a more dynamic way. And so I actually think it's an enormously positive step. I mean, you know, we're still in the very early stages of that. But I think if we know one thing is that this works. And the problem in Greece right now is we have an ideological debate about that rather than a pragmatic debate about that.
Wonderful. Maybe moving a little bit. We're on the final days of 2024. I'm about to enter 25, and I know that you have business plans, you have strategy plans in place. I'm wondering, you personally, your company, and the presence in Greece, how you're looking in 2025. What are the bets that are top level, right, and you would like to share with us? What we should be expecting from the organizations, yourselves, and the Greek presence for the next year? Anyone free to jump in?
I can start.
Yeah.
So I would say 2025, for us, it will be also another growth year. So the plan is expanding the activity even more. For all the organizations that we have, so more or less, the plan is having 1,500 people by 2025. This is the plan. But it's not only this. It's not only the numbers of people. It's also the scope of the work that we are making. As I said, for example, for the Center for Digital Innovation, we want to deliver even more global project for our organization. So this will improve. And for sure, the priorities are AI, machine learning, this type of projects. And especially what is important for this organization, so for the support that we are giving to drug discovery, drug development. So this is a key capability also for the center that we want to develop even more. And then for sure, also expanding even more the business services and also the clinical trials activities. But in general, I would say it's a progressive growth, that it's not only about outcomes, but it's also about the growth of the organization. So in the next years, we are going to have more senior leaders, I would say, in our organization, because the business case was mainly done about junior talents at the beginning. So the organization is growing, and they are becoming even more leaders within the organization and within Pfizer.
Wonderful. And what could stop that growth path, by the way? That's for all of you, but Nico, if you, what could go wrong?
For me, it's what is important for this organization that is completely integrated in the global Pfizer organization. So the risk sometimes, and I would say that we will always keep the focus on that, is that the 1,200 people that currently we have should be completely integrated with the global organization. So this is key. Because in some way we created a center that now is attracting a lot of investment from Pfizer globally. But we should keep this investment really, really global.
Yeah. Thank you.
From a Microsoft standpoint, I think continuing the work that we're doing on skilling, on providing digital skills for workers, and citizens as well, continuing to work with the government to make sure that we automate a lot of the repetitive things that we all know can be really improved, and really improving the experience and the interaction of the citizen with the government. Also on the private sector, on the industry side, there are a lot of opportunities we see in FSI, in healthcare, manufacturing, where AI can play a really a transformational role in kind of like optimizing a lot of these processes. We truly believe that the human should still be in the center, but we have the tools now with the whole Copilot ecosystem to really help modernize the practices in this industry so that we can see kind of like the right ROI, the cost savings, and the improved efficiency on the other end. And last but not least, I would say when it comes to the startup ecosystem, my personal view, I haven't lived in Greece for the last 30 years, but my view is that we need less regulation and more innovation, because I think that's what will stifle a lot of the new capabilities that we'll see coming up.
Wonderful. Evan?
Yeah, I would say less or at least better. Regulation. There's good regulation, and there is disruptive and unhelpful regulation. In terms of investments and priorities at a global level, for Google, really AI is sort of number one by some distance. Google switched to being an AI first company in 2016. So this is not new to us, but the pace of investment has accelerated and is likely to continue on the same trajectory. And then for Greece, it's along the lines of what I said at the beginning. It's the infrastructure investments with the subsea cable and cloud. It's the investments in partnerships, in culture, in training, and so on, and safety and cybersecurity. And the investments in upskilling with a renewed focus on AI. So we have the AI Skills for All program that we are accelerating next year, which is driving some of that broader upskilling of AI talent that we need.
Yeah. Costine, any...
So, you know, universities are not particularly good at thinking 1 year into the future.
Too close.
we try to dream a little bit further along. But one thing that some of us are trying to do, and Lisa Konofaru, who's right there, is going to be roped in to do it together, is that we're going to try to sort of create synergies to accelerate entrepreneurship and innovation within the university system. We're going to try to sort of lend expertise on how we do tech transfer from labs into building sort of spinning out companies. We're going to try to sort of bring curriculum that we know that we have here and it works to actually deliver it in Greek universities. And build a mentorship program. This is where Panayotis and his network will come in. But I think that's like a one-year project that we're going to hopefully be able to stand up over calendar 2025 and then sort of start working on it. But, you know, I think it's an exciting time for all of us. It's also kind of a volatile time. We haven't talked about geopolitics and anything like that, but there's... there are going to be some curveballs coming in many directions, and it's going to be, hopefully, we're going to deal with them correctly. It's an opportunity for Greece, in fact.
And Vasily, before, thank you so much. Vasily, before you jumping in, we have a couple of more minutes, and I would love to for us to share a few very quick thoughts on the culture. And as I said, we had one company doing one exit, reaching 25% of the total foreign direct investments in Greece, one company. That not a lot of people knew, right? So I think that we lack of, you know, the exponential growth mentality in Greece. How can we see bigger ambition, larger numbers, like quicker solutions? How can we expedite the change and the transformation that's happening? It's an open conversation.
Yes. Okay. Let me, first of all, answer your previous question about opportunities in the health sector in Greece. Many companies have already a strong footprint in the country. Apart from Pfizer, the Greek pharmaceutical industry is deploying a plan of 1.2 billion euros. Boehringer Ingelheim invests over 100 million euros in its production facility at Koropi. GE Healthcare has regional offices in Athens recently. few weeks ago, Johnson & Johnson launched in Greece a hub for clinical trials. So yeah, we have more things to do. We have a vivid startup ecosystem in the healthcare sector.
Yeah.
You are very well aware of that. We want to make it to make it bigger, to expand, and also we are changing the model of healthcare delivery. So this is an opportunity for companies to invest in the country. Now, during in the framework of the European health data space, we can take advantage of the secondary use of health data.
Yeah.
So we can create a hub not only for clinical trials, as I said before, but also for big data analytics and real-world evidence data.
Yes.
And there is a study from IOVE that supports that investing 1 million euros for big data analytics and real-world data brings back to the economy 0.95 million euros and 25 places for
That's fantastic, and the healthcare industry is clearly one of the biggest opportunities in Greece. How can we change the culture? Is it more people like Evan joining the boards of the top tech, the top companies? How can we make Greeks think more exponentially?
I think role models is key, right? More people with sort of that experience of operating in that environment, being involved and helping out and participating is key.
Anyone else?
I agree. I think for sure being more exposed to international environment, I would say sometimes the cultural, the mindset of Greeks, it's a little bit hierarchical. So, and this is also something that for sure, and also what I agree really a lot with Kostis, also a little bit more of risk taking in the way of working. I think these are the things that we can improve.
It's definitely making the Burlades of the world, right, meet with the prime minister. That's for sure. That has a huge impact in...
Also giving exposure to Greek companies to international markets. So, you know, incubating or bringing startups and having a team of that startup spend like 6 months or 12 months in New York, in the Bay Area, somewhere, you know, it's actually important because it forces your thinking to actually be developing products and services for a global market rather than for a market that is local for, let's say, 5 million people. I mean, 5 million people in New York, we call that a restaurant, right? You know, you want to be thinking of the global market, and sort of bringing people here and spending time is actually important. Anyways.
Wonderful. Five incredible panelists, a wonderful conversation. Thank you all so much. Thank you.